Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. Hey, Susie, what's up this week?
I am here and ready with a good attitude, as always, to record episode 119 of the Groom Pod. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to talk about aromatherapy, phototoxicity, and blending lines. So this is recorded on April 16th, which just so happens to be Easter Sunday. So happy Easter to those of you who are, well, it'll be after the fact. Easter, Passover, whatever it is you celebrate at this time of year. Hope it was good. Hope you enjoyed your ham or whatever it is that happens. And the chocolates. For me, the best day, of course, is the day after Easter because all of the candy goes on sale. Anyway, you can find us on Facebook and engage us in brand discussion, which we've been doing a lot of lately, at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. You can subscribe to The Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, and anywhere else you find podcasts. You can find all things Groom Pod related, including the all-important donation button, dun-dun-dun-dun, and our Amazon banner as well. You can find all that at www.thegroompod.com. Remember to share us with your grooming friends and support our sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bieber.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. So, Barbara, we have gotten two donations this week. We got one from Hi Roseman.
Hi.
And one from Linda Trader.
Hi, Linda. Thank you very much, both of you.
It couldn't come at a better time for Miss Barbara Bird, and I'm going to send those on to her because she gets the donation button. So, hey, we also had a Facebook question, and since we have a jam-packed full show, and I had not really anything, well, my bathing beauty broke. That was about it. And my tooth broke, too. Bathing beauty and my tooth. So it was eventful in that way. But I'm going to answer this really cool in-home grooming question that was posed to us by Leah Foxcroft. So I'm just going to pull that up here.
While you're looking for that, I'm going to ask our listeners, please ask me questions on the Facebook page rather than private messaging, because I much prefer to share information where many people can benefit rather than doing a whole lot of one-on-one stuff that takes up a lot of my time. So where it's discreet and possible, please ask me your questions online, okay?
Plus, now, it makes for good topics of discussion.
It helps us for the Groom Pod. It's just helpful all the way around if you let me answer publicly. Okay, so did you find our question? What did Leah Foscrot ask?
So Leah says, Susie Scott, I have a question for you. Woohoo, I've made it. Yay. I love it when people ask me questions.
You're an expert now. You're being asked.
Oh, I wouldn't go so grand. I know you were a house call groomer for a while, and I find myself in a position where that is something I may have to do. My question is, did you do an in-person consultation before taking on a new client, or did you do something like that over the phone? Do you have them sign a waiver? How do you prevent booking a customer that might be a weirdo, and how do you handle the cleanup? Thanks, Susie. All right, I'm going to tackle these one at a time. So first of all, did I do an in-person consultation? Rarely. Rarely did I do an in-person consultation. What I did do is an extensive phone consultation. I chatted them up and down. I got a feeling for who they were. And in the reality, I never really got any really creepy weirdos. I delivered pizza to creepy weirdos before. I delivered pizza to a lady who answered the door in no pants. No pants! But I've never had that happen grooming. You get a pretty good feeling, I think, when you talk over the phone and you ask all the right questions and, you know, you get a trained ear after a little while. But if you're concerned, it's always good to let someone else know the address of the house you're going to. So, you know, let your spouse know, let your friend know, let somebody know the address of the house you're going to, especially for that very first visit. We'll do an in-home visit first, but sometimes I'll do an in-home visit if it's requested by the owner. I've never really worried about it. What do you think on that, Barbara?
No, I think I would want to talk to them on the phone and feel it out that way. And just, you know, when you start asking specifics, if it's a creepy thing, it shows up.
It does.
Right away. And, you know, and you don't have to go anywhere you're not 100% comfortable.
Yes.
You know, I always trust your gut. Trust your instincts. That gut reaction is there for a reason. I mean, that goes all through our work. If you have a person that gives you a weird vibe, if you have a dog that sends the back of your neck tingling, just say, you know, I am going to use my option to refuse service in this matter. I'm just not comfortable. So long. Good luck. You know, feel, you know, like you just got to the almost all of the problems that I've had with like dogs really nailing me. I had some kind of warning. I had some kind of vibe.
Yes. And you just use caution. But when you invite somebody into your home, you're already putting yourself out there on the line. You're being vulnerable to us. You know, by having us into your house, maybe into your bathroom or your kitchen, or, you know, especially.
Yeah, who's the weirdo?
Yeah. So I think. Right. If you look around the room and you don't see the weirdo, it could be you. God, I know it's me. But I always felt pretty comfortable going into the house. Now, the other thing is you're going to pull up in front of their house and you can see warning signs outside. Like if they haven't done their lawn for 20 years and it's all overgrown and there's, you know, the windows are boarded up and there's a police crime tape that has been ripped apart and leaning on. Don't go into that house. But if they're willing to have you come in the house, I think you're pretty safe, you know, but do let somebody know that you're going there. So that's the way I feel about that. I don't have anybody sign waivers. I know where they live. I feel like that's okay. I've got good insurance. Waivers really don't protect you. They do inform the client a little bit on, you know, what they might be thinking or need to think about as far as what is involved with grooming. But I never really think a waiver holds up very well in court. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I don't think they do either. The only time I have people sign releases is this little boarding business that I do. Then I want them there again. It's just kind of to take care of the possible unknowns and that kind of thing. Once or twice, I might have had somebody have to sign a senior dog kind of a thing if I thought that they were not getting it.
Well, like I said, you know, all of those words on the page, they can help to inform and educate the client. You know, you can use a waiver for that reason, which isn't really a waiver at all, more like a document you're having them read, like a service contract or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of a different thing. A service contract is different than a waiver. I wouldn't hesitate. Like when I first meet somebody, I used to have a form I had everybody fill out, and then I kept it on file. And now I just put everything in the computer myself, and I find that I don't need the paperwork following me around. I've got it in a few redundant spots. I've got it in my bookkeeping. I also have it in my scheduling, which are two separate programs for me. So then I have it on a piece of paper also on their physical card. So anyway, that's that. And how do you prevent a customer booking that might be a weirdo? We talked about that already. And how do you handle cleanup? Handling cleanup is an interesting thing. First of all, educate the client on that. You're going to be cutting hair. Hair is ubiquitous. It gets everywhere. It permeates everything. If you cut hair in the bathroom, they're going to find dog hair in their kitchen. It's just a fact. Some of the things you can do to help, though, is, and I certainly did this, I used a clipper vac or a taxi vac, the smallest size vacuum system that I could have, and I would carry it into the house, and I always used that when I was an in-home groomer. That was a really good investment. Another thing I did is I used a bathing system in the bathtub. And the reason that helped me is because if I was doing a de-shedding type dog, like a shepherd or a lab, then the hair collects up underneath the pump and you can remove it while it's wet. So you don't have nearly as much cleanup. Now, some people did the tub cleaning themselves. Other people I tried to clean up a little bit, but you know, it's a tough deal. You're in somebody's house. You're trying to be as neat as possible. I didn't want to also carry a shop vac in because I was already taking 3 trips, but I would carry a bathing system, the clipper vac, and then I would use the clipper vac to vacuum up the area.
You know, I've only done a few in-home groomings. I've done a couple of cats for people that requested me to come to the house, and I groom the cats on their ironing board. Ironing boards actually are kind of good cat grooming tables. And then I just remembered while you were talking about this cleanup, I did a Malamute. Like I did a Malamute that I did for some years at the shop, and then the dog got too old to travel. And I went to the house and I did him in the backyard, cross-tied on the porch poles, you know, the support, and with the hose. So all I did was carry in a blow dryer, and hair would fly all over the yard, and birds would come and grab the hair for their nests.
They must have been so happy. That's actually,
you know, I asked him, I said, you know, are your neighbors complaining about the hair we blew off? Because, you know, a Malamute annual de-shed is quite a lot of hair. And they said, no, the birds all came and cut the hair.
Oh, that's cool, because I'm about to go through that with my Tennessee Walker. She gets the coat of a Shetland pony. She gets this thick wintry coat, and it is just now starting to release. But if I de-shed her in the pasture, then she's going to eat her own hair because it will be everywhere. So I have to take her into the barn, de-shed her, and then sweep it up so she doesn't eat it. Man, it's a lot of hair.
See the video that I think it was Olga posted online of the bear in Russia getting de-shedded with double flicker brushes.
Oh, that was cool.
That was fun. Okay, well, we're
I digress.
We're straying again as usual.
Anyway, so that hopefully that answers the questions. If you've got any more, hit us up on Facebook. Well, Barbara, let's just take a really quick minute to hear from Best Shot, and then we'll be back at our first appointment, which is aromatherapy. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their 3-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their 3-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. All right, Barbara, we're going to talk about aromatherapy this morning. And what I really am curious about is, how did you get interested in aromatherapy?
Oh, thanks for asking, Susie. I got interested in aromatherapy because I had an inclination to become a more holistic groomer. And I think I was a speaker at a trade show in Colorado, in Denver. The Colorado groomers used to put on some great trade shows. And someone there gave a seminar on aromatherapy, which I attended. And she just encouraged us to start using single oils and to experiment around. And I did that. I came home, I bought a few oils, and I came home and I just started fooling around at my shop. And then my intellect clicked in and I wanted to look into it a little bit more. So I started buying books and stuff like that to understand aromatherapy. And I went through a very informal use and understand phase of about 3 years. And then I realized that I was starting to blend my oils instead of using just one or two. I was starting to make creations of three or four oils and using them in my shop mainly for stress management.
For your stress management or for the pet stress management?
For both.
Okay.
I reached a point where it seemed to make sense to kind of firm up my recipes and share with others. And so I kind of formed a product line. And then I was at Denver again at another Colorado show. This was years later, skip 5 years, right? And I'm at another Colorado show. Again, I'm a speaker and I was selling the oils. So I had how can I say cocamido propyl betaine, but I can't say part of my fee was I got a booth. So
right, yes.
I was set up next to Sandy at show season, who had written me and complimented my writing by email. And do you know that I thought that Sandy at show season was a he?
Well, how else would you know?
And she ain't.
No, she's certainly a very she.
Very she. And so Sandy and I, and so the show was a little slow. So when shows are slow, vendors talk to each other a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, so we visited a whole lot because she kind of knew who I was. And then she was interested in this aromatherapy. And actually after that show, then she approached me and said, I'd like to distribute your oils. And so I gave Sandy an exclusive distributorship of my blended essential oils for stress management in the shop. And then I just provide the oils. I provide the information and stuff. She has actually renamed my oils and kind of remarketed my oils. And I've had to kind of let go a little bit in that regard because she does a fantastic job marketing. I clearly don't have time to do it all. It's even silly that, I just did a $1,200 wholesale order. I purchased the essential oils. I mixed the recipes. I poured into little bottles carefully. You know, like I don't have one of those filling machines like Sandy has for the shampoos, where the bottles go clink 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 down the assembly.
I love that though. I love those.
No, it's me holding the bottle up so the sunlight shows where the level is, and carefully pouring in 10 milliliters.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
And now let's do 25, 30 milliliters. Okay. You know, and then you cap the bottle and you got to screw it on tight. Got to wear latex or vinyl gloves in order to get the screw. Because if the lids aren't on tight, you're going to have leakage, right? So here I am personally twisting all those taps. And then, the fun part, the shrink wrap.
Oh, yes.
Got to have, you know, like for a professional liquid, you got to have a shrink wrap. So then you have to hold those. You have to, first of all, you put them on individually onto the bottle, and then you hold each bottle and you hold the little plastic in place and you hit it with a hot air dryer and burn your fingers. Do that 25 times.
That seems like a lot of work, Barbara. When you first started mixing these up, where did you find the aromatherapy oils to start with?
Oh, good question. So I'm not sure how I found this company, but one of the first companies that I started with is a company out of California called Aromatherapeutics with an X. And they make a really nice catalog. So they have single oils for sale, and then they have a lot of aromatherapy products. They have diffusers. They have, you know, lots of stuff. So their catalog is very informative, and it has brief descriptions of the oils and how they are used historically.
It does kind of indicate what they might have, what their properties might be.
Yeah. There's a lot of information there, and it just seemed to be a very trustworthy source. So I started buying from them, and then I found a source called One Planet, and they've gone out of business. They've actually gone out of business because of the effects of Young Living and doTERRA on the industry.
And those are the two big ones, right?
Those are the two big ones, and they're multi-level marketing organizations, and their oils are extremely costly, but they do heavy marketing, and they've actually pushed a lot of the smaller competitors just like off the playing field. They've also driven the demand for some essential oils to a point where they've had to raise their prices. Prices have become higher and higher, especially for some of the more rare oils, because the big multi-level marketing companies have millions of downline people. Millions. I think I read somewhere a couple of years ago, I read that Young Living had 3 million people signed up, 3 million people ordering oils.
So sometimes these guys show up at our trade shows, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere. You know, they're very, very popular, and they're very active online. They also give out a lot of information, but they turn a lot of people into aromatherapy practitioners that don't have much of a real foundation in aromatherapy, with a lot of suggested medical uses. I'm a little bit wary about the medicinal. I don't really want to become a doctor of aromatherapy.
You're not an apothecary or a shaman or a witch doctor or a...
No.
None of those things, huh? You're just going to use it. Yeah, more practical application.
Because for one reason, my scientific side. See, it's interesting because this whole aromatherapy business, it seems to be real opposite my scientific side. And indeed, it is.
Yep.
It is the opposite. And that's one of the reasons that I like it, because I can do something intuitive. And yet there is a lot of kind of chemistry underneath the whole aromatherapy business. And that's what I've done a lot of reading and trying to understand the chemical properties of essential oils. A lot of other people don't go there.
Let's use your expertise right now. Okay. How can we use this in our shop in a practical way every single day?
Well, you can use it in your shop. Just one thing you can do is you can create an aroma signature for your shop. You can kind of create a smell that's you.
Oh, I like that. When you show up to your hairdresser or your groomer, yeah, in this case, and it smells the same, and you know this is what this smells like. I love that.
Yeah. So you can do that, and it's really helpful to diffuse aromatherapy near the front door, so that when people come in, what they smell right away is something nice, not a chemical odor. right?
Yeah.
But you never know when they're going to have some kind of a shit accident. Or a new customer walks in the front door, right?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
My God. So if you got aromatherapy going up front, that gives you a little bit of coverage there for while you're cleaning up frantically in the back, right?
Right, and depending on what you choose, you can even be instilling a calming feeling.
It also helps to calm the customers. Now, it's not like they suddenly become sedated.
You're not shooting a Valium into their mouth.
Not shooting a Valium into them. But it just aids in keeping a nice atmosphere up at your front counter.
And that helps us in back, too.
And that helps us in back. And so I tend to use aromatherapy around my table for calming myself or calming the dog. When do I need calming? Oh, kind of sometimes when the going gets rough and I'm running out of time and something's taking more time than I thought it should and the customer's going to come and I hear myself cursing. And
you feel that you're not going to Q-tip it?
Yeah. And so I have a little personal air diffuser, essential oil diffuser right close to my table. And it's, you know, it just fits in my hand, literally. And it just,
that's the one I have.
Yeah, this one's nice, this little one.
I love it. And it turns colors.
And it turns colors so that if I glance at it, I can have a little color therapy there. Oh, green. Oh, blue. Oh, pink. So
my toilet bowl does that now. I have a little light in my toilet bowl so that when I go in there at night, it turns pretty colors.
I don't know. I just want to go in there and not be distracted. I just want to go back to bed. Where all the dogs follow me in there. We don't all want to sit there looking at the pretty colors of the toilet bowl. I know. they give me like a 3-minute window.
Oh, that's nice of them.
If I'm not back in bed in 3 minutes, they all get up.
Yes, and then you're really under pressure. Yeah, they all stare at you.
And then it's harder to get back to sleep. I don't know. We are drifting.
Oh, sorry. So yes.
I use the aromatherapy in the shop to create an ambience to help keep a calming energy at my counter. I use it in the morning. Sometimes I'll use an uplifting and energizing blend, which I will also use late in the afternoon. If I'm having an afternoon slump.
Yeah, that 2 o'clock time hits.
A little grapefruit and something really helps keep you going at the end of the day. I use my Mellow Pet blend for the dog. So I have really three blends that are good for the animals themselves and will also calm people. Mellow Pet, Home Alone, which is an anti-anxiety blend, and Thunderstorm that I created especially because Sandy at show season wanted it. And it's also a fear reducer, anxiety reducing blend. So I will use any of those and I will either diffuse them through my desk and my table side diffuser, or just put a few drops on a piece of paper towel or anything porous like that and clamp it to my arm of my table. And I also will sometimes clamp a paper towel with a few drops of oil onto a cage front if I have a dog that's being anxious in the cage. And what I've found is that many dogs respond to aromatherapy calming, and some dogs just don't. The funniest example I had of just that some dogs don't like it is that I have this schnauzer named Tramp, and Tramp used to be very vocal at other dogs. He would bark at other dogs and fuss in the cage. And so I put a Mellow Pet paper towel clamped to the cage front, and he dug all of the toweling in the cage to block the in front of it. You're not calling me with that shit.
Yeah. You remember Louis the Bichon?
Yes.
When you would use aromatherapy on him, because I would put it on my watch band, because my watch band is right there next to their face when I'm working on their face. He would curl up his lip and stick out his tongue and then sneeze. It was very obvious. He just hated it. So I had to stop using it because it's hard to scissor a sneeze.
Like aromatherapy fragrances are very, it's very personal.
And I agree.
Some dogs and some people do not like some fragrances, and other things are pretty well accepted. Now, basically, my Mellow Pet blend is really pretty well accepted. I can't, it's unbelievable how the sales of that product have. I mean, I am making up so much Mellow Pet. It's just a really exciting. So it has to be because it's working.
I agree. It's a good product. I've used it.
Yeah, you know, of that $1,200 wholesale order that I made, 2/3 of that was Mellow Pet. You know,
it's good stuff.
It's now made, and she makes it a direct spray out of it, because that's just the easiest way to kind of apply it to a dog. She makes a shampoo using Mellow Pet, and it's just become quite a bestseller for me. And it has to be because it works. Oh, and I had a client buy some Mellow Pet directly from me. She sends it to her husband, who's deployed in Korea.
That's cool.
So my Mellow Pet is helping the troops.
I think we all need a little Mellow Pet right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's practical ways we can use aromatherapy right in our shop. Hey, here's another question, Barbara. Do you sell those aromatherapy blends that you've put together at shop.beber.biz?
I do. And what you need to know is that I'm still selling those blends under the original labels and the original names. And Show Season has changed the labeling and some of the names. So it's the same stuff, but I haven't made the switch yet. Ultimately, I will. And I'm thinking very seriously of doing a little bit of live Facebook stuff about each of the different oils, about how to use the different the different blends.
You should do that, because Facebook Live is fun. I think it's fun.
Yeah, and it's kind of what's happening now, you know.
It's easy, it's fun, and it is what's happening now. You should do that. We'll look forward to that, I think.
Good.
All right, cool. Well, thank you for that little bit of a tutorial. There's so much more to talk about aromatherapy. We're just kind of scraping the very tippy top with this discussion here today. So let's hear from South Bark Professional Pet Products about their pet foam, which is very popular. And then we're going to come back with our definition du jour, which is phototoxicity, which now I know how to spell.
I can't say it very well. You have to say it fast. If you get slowed down, it gets harder. Phototoxicity. Yes.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. The definition du jour.
Okay, so what is phototoxicity, right?
Yes, what is it?
It is a substance that, when exposed to UV radiation, changes in molecular structure so as to be irritating to the skin.
So you mean if it's exposed to light?
Sunlight.
Sunlight, okay.
So photo, in this case, is sunlight toxicity. So the sun makes it toxic to the skin. It's a skin issue. And the reaction is something like a severe sunburn, blistering sunburn. So it's red. And it can become very blistering.
Angry.
And I don't know that it's been documented on animals, but it's one of the reasons to be careful in any direct, neat application of essential oils to animals. There's just a few essential oils that are phototoxic. The phototoxicity is an issue in perfumery.
What you mean is putting it directly on the skin and then it exposing to light, to sunlight, right?
Yeah, and this is not, and it doesn't, and actually, even diluted, some essential oils are hazardous for phototoxic reaction if applied to the skin. And these oils are citrus oils.
Oh, my favorite oils.
I know, and you know, and I use these in inhalation blends a lot because I love citrus oils, but not all citrus oils. So here are the known to be phototoxic. Bergamot oil.
That's very popular right now.
Fig leaf absolute, which is not going to be a canine issue. Except that sometimes these multi-level marketing groups are using some of the more obscure, less frequently used oils, and they're the novel oils. So they keep coming up with novel oils.
So something like fig oil, that could fall into that area.
Yeah, you might, so watch out for it. Fig leaf absolute, grapefruit oil, lemon oil expressed, and lime oil expressed, although lemon and lime distilled is not, you know, the fumo-coumarin, you know, the molecules, the ingredient, chemical constituent that makes for phototoxicity does not pass through the distillation process. The molecule's too large. Okay.
Okay. Yep.
That's an interesting little factoid.
So, but the other method, is that just squeezing?
Yeah, most citrus oils, that most commercial citrus oils are cold expressed. They're just
squished,
big, heavy squishies. And okay. Mandarin leaf oil, orange, bitter orange oil expressed, and rue oil, angelica root oil, and cumin oil. Those are known to be phototoxic. Then possibly phototoxic, clementine oil, combava fruit oil, never heard of it. Skamia oil, never heard of it. Angelica root absolute, angelica root CO2 extract, celery leaf oil. Celery seed absolute, so cumin seed absolute, cumin seed CO2 extract, parsnip oil, lovage leaf oil.
Parsnip oil?
Yeah, but non-phototoxic citrus fruit and leaf oils. You can get bergamot that has had the bergamotine removed, and that's what they use mostly for skin cosmetics, okay? And that's what I get, a bergamotine-free oil. Lemon and lime distilled, mandarin oil, fruit oil, as versus the mandarin leaf oil is phototoxic. The mandarin oil itself is not. Sweet orange oil is okay. Orange leaf oil is okay. Satsuma oil expressed, tangelo oil, tangerine oil, and yuzu oil expressed or distilled. Those are non-phototoxic. One of the arguments that I have with the multi-level marketing popular oils, okay, I'll say it, Young Living and doTERRA, is that they advocate direct application of oils to the skin of the animals. And they always have, they've been at our summit, at our trade shows, and they will say to put it on the paws of the animals. I just can't go for that. I'm sorry. I have studied essential oils and aromatherapy a lot.
Yes.
And always, always am told not to do that for animals, that you must dilute oils to use them on animals.
People and, too, right?
Well, people too, but animals especially.
Okay.
Because they're just much more sensitive to aromatherapy oil, essential oils. It doesn't take as much to influence an animal as it does to a person, but the business about using drops of oil directly from the bottle, I just can't go along with that, and it's just advocated by these companies, and they also advocate internal use, and that's something that I would never advocate unless it was under the advice and supervision of a doctor of medicine. It's something that's done in Europe, but it's done with doctors who have studied it. It's not just done by home practitioners. And my concern is that we can be led to believe that because these oils are natural, that they're harmless. And that's not at all true. Harm can be done with natural essential oils if you don't know the properties, such as phototoxicity.
Okay. And they also fake us out by saying it's a human-grade essential oil or food-grade essential oil.
They say therapeutic-grade.
Or therapeutic-grade essential oil, making us think that there is some difference
some
in that.
Platforms. And, you know, like the truth is, you cannot buy, I mean, unless you buy from them, you can't buy therapeutic oils. On the world market, there are no therapeutic oils. It's an artificial marketing tool. It's artificial. It is not a true standard.
There's no aromatherapy committee that is out there saying this is therapeutic grade and this is not.
There's no way to make it be therapeutic grade or not. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there can be a lot of or not. I mean, there can be there are a lot of adulterated oils on the world market. And the more demand there is, the more tweaking can happen, you right. know, because people are trying to fulfill the demand. And so they can be adding cheaper in there or whatever. But, oh, I don't know. I don't know yeah. how much I want to go on and on about doTERRA and Young Living. But they've had a real effect on the entire realm domain of aromatherapy. Part of it is good. There's a lot of more public awareness of that, but there's also a lot of irresponsible suggested usage.
So I'm going to wrap this little segment up by saying you can find aromatherapy blends that were specifically blended just for the purposes of using in your grooming shop at Barbara's website. And that website is www.shop.bieber.biz. And you won't get multi-level marketing. You won't get a bunch of fancy papers to put out on your shelf. But what you will get is products that will be beneficial, hopefully, in your shop, because I know from my own personal experience that they are beneficial to me and in my grooming trailer. So there you go. All right, Barbara, I want to tell you something about Amazon, Amazon.com, our magical friends at Amazon. I took your advice. And I had missed a return deadline on a car part. Of course, it was a car part because that's all we return is car parts. So we got a car part and it was a rather substantial car part. It was two mufflers and we had got them for our hot rod. We had an appointment to take the car in and lo and behold, the mufflers that we had bought, not applicable. We couldn't use them on our car. But the appointment was so far away from the day we had bought the mufflers that we had already passed the return allowed date. And this was like $300 worth of mufflers. Uh-oh. So I took your advice and I called customer service. I physically called them on the phone. And lo and behold, they happily took my return after the fact and refunded all of our money and nothing flat. And I would have never done that. If I'd have looked at that and saw that the return date had passed, I would have never gone any farther had we not had that discussion. And I'm just mentioning this because other people probably have this too, where they think they've gone past the date or they don't think they should be able to return it. Well, pick up the phone and call Amazon if you bought it from Amazon. You can't call Amazon if you bought it from Walmart. But if you bought it from Amazon, call Amazon up, call their customer service department. And take note because they really, really do it right down there at Amazon. And if you want to help support the show, you can go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, click on the Amazon banner and do your shopping there. It won't cost you anything extra, but they often, well, basically every 3 months, they send us a little check as a commission. That's what I have to say about Amazon. Thank you for that tip, Barbara. That was really helpful for me this week.
Sure. Good.
Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Cool. Okay, over to the at the table segment. Where we're going to talk about techniques of blending lines. And this is something we come across a lot. And I know you did with the Springer Spaniels. The clients, the owners of the pets, they want their dog's jacket done with like a 7-blade and then nice fluffy furnishings. And that transition spot, the blending area between the 7-blade shaved and then the skirting or furnishings underneath the dog can be a very challenging area. What is your go-to? I mean, I'm a skimmer. I take that 7-blade and I just skim right off the side of the dog and do some sculpting and skimming. What do you do?
Well, I am also a skimmer, and I think that so we're talking about that a horizontal line is undesirable. So sometimes yes. when you're short clipping the body, it really happens with a 10, short clipping the body and leaving a skirt. There's this line that is created horizontally from the elbow to the back leg. And how do you get rid of it? So my thing is, I don't create it.
In a perfect world, definitely.
Don't make a line at your blending point, but skim with your, you know, like it really happens when you are applying pressure down the rib cage and you apply the same amount of pressure right to the line where you want the skirt to start. But if you lift your pressure and then skim from that line and then go back over it a couple of times and skim, you can create a difference in length without a line. Another way to do it, and it will help erase a line, is to go over it with a snap-on comb. Like, let's say you're doing a 7-blade, because, boy, I hardly ever do 10-blade work.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, my schnauzers, whatever. I just educate my customers that it ain't
too
cool.
Too short.
It's not healthy. Were we going to talk about how to avoid schnauzer bumps?
We were, but we're running out of time. So we might have to push that until next week.
But that's another thing. Don't use the 10 blade.
Yeah. That's a great tip.
You know, so if I've used a 7 and I've created some lines there, or let's say I will just use the red, the tiny red snap-on comb and go over that little blended area, and it just blends it. It just mixes up the thing enough that you can't see a horizontal line anymore. It really helps. Then the other thing to do is to take your blending shears. Hey, thinners are really blenders.
It's true.
And just vertically up and down, go from one end of the line to the other. There again, you're creating vertical cuts against that horizontal cut that you made.
And visually disrupt it.
It will visually disrupt the look of that. So you can either scissor up into the hair, or you can go on the top and scissor down.
Or a combination thereof.
I get a lot of use out of my wall figura and the special wall small combs.
Yeah, they're very handy. Here is the one case where I am a person who pretty much has a clipper back permanently taped to my hand, right? I hate putting down the clipper back. I love my clipper back. But in the case of things like Westie backs or Schnauzer backs or Springer backs, I always put that clipper back down, and I just do it with regular clippers because it makes blending easier. Now, if you want to blend with a clipper back, oftentimes I'll take my whole hand and hold the skirt down so that I don't suck it up, and then I'll blend away with the clipper back on with the suction as light as I can possibly adjust it. So very little suction and blend away. But really, in the big picture, I found that doing it without the suction makes for a better blend when I'm skimming away like that. I also use thinners and blenders. Blenders more than thinners. I actually don't even have any thinners right now. Thinners have the notches on both sides. Am I right?
Right.
So I have blenders right now, and I do the over-the-top blending down the line, scissors tips pointed down, and blend off that line that way. And then I also do the thing that you were describing, bulk thinning up underneath, where you go up underneath the line and you take a bite here and there, and then you comb it down. But I oftentimes find that leaves some sticky outy hairs at the next grow out that I don't like as much. So I'm finding that I'm liking skimming a lot better, and just become a sculptor with that clipper and skim away. And you can even skim down some of the legs because you don't want too much falling away from the side of the dog. Also, after you've clipped it down with the hideously short 7 blade, then card that area, card the line, card the back, get in there with your stripping knife and remove some of that fluffiness, undercoat and such, dead hairs, and it will blend a little bit better that way. Is that a technique you use?
I could use that technique. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't do Westies or Scotties are full-coated cockers with the clipper vac because it is harder to skim. And it does, you know, like I do cockers when I, like yesterday or Friday, I did a summer cut number five against the grain all the way, you know, over the whole Cochran, and leaves a nice velvety touch. But if I'm trying to make a shorter top line, blend it into a skirt, I'm probably never going to use, you know, you're much more adept with your clipper vet because you use it all the time. We should get together sometime and teach each other. I'll teach you some scissoring if you teach me how to skim with my clipper vet, because I don't get nearly the use out of my clipper vet as you do. I'm afraid to use it on flat coats.
Yeah, I do pretty well. I do pretty well with it. I've just, you know, it's what I'm used to. And I can, on some of the good dogs, I can do some of the skimming techniques with a 40 blade where you're shaping. Not all of them, but some of them. If I've got a really good dog that will stand for that, I'll do some of that even. Yeah, it's fun. I like
worse than be skimming with a 40 blade and have the dog pick up its leg.
Oh, yeah. That's just torture. It is just torture. All right. Well, we are fast approaching the end of the show. Is there anything that you can think of that we might need to add about blending? I think we've covered it all.
Yeah. Try not to make lines that you don't want. I love sculpting with the clippers. I love it. I love using snap-on combs. Snap-on combs really do help you create different lengths. And
Yeah, I'm lost without those snap-on combs. I am the clipper back, but definitely without the combs. Anyway, all right, well, let's call it a day, Barbara, or let's start our day, really, because it's morning here. And I'm going to go eat some chocolate, because that sounds like fun.
Oh, good.
Or some jelly beans.
I got a chocolate bunny.
Ooh, nice. I'll get mine tomorrow.
Yep. Okay.
Cool. Well, thanks for being here with us, guys. We appreciate your listening and all of your feedback and all the interaction. And Barbara, I hope you have a fabulous day. Happy grooming to everybody. We'll be here next week again on the Groom Pod. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Bye, Susie.
Bye, Barbara.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.